Wyndham Hotels and Resorts makes travel possible for all. Whether it's the long haulers looking for a great cup of coffee, a roomier rest for the on a whim road trippers, or a place to make summer memories with the whole family. No matter who you are, where you're going, or why, with 24 trusted brands to choose from like La Quinta, Days Inn, and Super 8, your Wyndham is waiting. Get the lowest price at WyndhamHotels.com. Restrictions apply. Visit website for more details.
The Jonathan Cruz case was hastily investigated by authorities, but many questions remain. Come behind the curtain with private investigator Sheila Wysocki as she uncovers the truth about what happened to Jonathan. This is Without Warning. Warning, the following episode contains elements that are graphic in nature. Listener discretion is advised.
This is the last episode, Heartbreak, the Jonathan Cruz case. On January 12, 2022, John and Pam Cruz head to court in Dallas County. That is where Jonathan gets to tell his story through the injuries on his body, where a jury will look at the evidence and decide if the 911 caller that night who said Jonathan shot himself was telling the truth. On this episode, I wanted to bring in my Patreon group. You will hear from my Patreon members discussing Jonathan's case. As always, I look forward to hearing from you and what you think.
Let me talk about what we're doing. I wanted my Patreon group to wrap up Jonathan's case. This is the last episode we're going to do before his trial. His trial starts January 12th. I would like for you all to take it from the beginning to the end like we do and talk about your observations, talk about your thoughts and where you are now before the trial starts and any questions you have remaining. Nancy, I'm going to start with you because being in the same position as a mother fighting for justice, kind of tell me what you think about this case. I know you followed it. And I know you know Pam.
Okay, well, I think in anything like this, it's incredible what a parent can do. And I, one thing I've really learned, and I hope we all can follow through with it, when you talked about having a presentation or at least a download for other parents early on in this situation, because I've really found that as much as we want to, we can't completely trust the authorities, the attorneys, or anybody, especially when there's an intuition that Pam had, supported by so many people, that there was something really, really wrong here. And they knew very early on. So that's a very important takeaway I have right now.
This is Erin. So I re-listened to all of the podcast on a flight this last weekend, and I noticed so many inconsistencies. Every interview that was done between her friends and the Cruz family, there was so much things around the day of. So was she, in another room? Was she in the room when it happened? What did she go to do to deliver something to him? Was she supposed to be practicing karate that day and instead lying to people that she was on the phone arguing with her mom when in fact she was, already involved so heavily with the breakfast that morning and, lying to people about what really, why she was so distraught. So all of it just seems like there was such buildup from that morning all the way to that evening. And there's too much inconsistencies with the stories and who she talked to between Henry Sue and, the police officers and their reports. There's too much to go on and not enough from her side of the story that does seem consistent in telling a story. She had this multiple personalities, there's this multiple sides to tell every single different person. But the theme of it was that he still loved her in the end is what her story was. Well, that's really interesting when you had such buildup from that morning all the way to that evening of frustration and jealousy. And I saw so many red flags listening to the podcast over and over again this last weekend. So that raised a lot of questions for me.
Very well said. And I agree with all your red flags. How important do you all think, and I won't put anybody on the spot, Meredith, how important do you think the gunpowder residue is?
Of course, gunpowder residue is important. It's super important. It's important in any case, but it's especially important in this case.
What does it tell you?
It tells me that she was there.
In order to get gunpowder residue on you, is it, I think I heard someone say recently, a professor say, it's not like magic dust. It doesn't follow you and go into another room or a bathroom. What does it do? What happens when you shoot a gun?
It gets on your hands from shooting the weapon. I mean, and so, like, just for example, on a day that I come home from the range, I can smell it on me. It just comes on your hands from when you shoot the gun.
So if somebody told you they were not near a person that shot a gun and you have gunpowder residue on your hoodie, your hoodie's arms.
That would tell me that you were near someone that you were near gunshot powder residue for some reason.
All right. And credibility wise, what does that do? If somebody's going to say, no, I wasn't in the room.
Well, that means you're lying. Credibility away from you. Why would you lie about that? And that's scientific. That's not something like that Joe Blow said about me that might be a lie. This is like physical evidence that you can't lie about. So.
And how important is physical evidence in a case?
That's like the most important thing in a case.
Danielle, physical evidence in this case, besides the gunpowder residue, what else is there?
We have the wound itself, the entry and the exit wound, and where it is positioned on his body. And we know that Jonathan had bursitis in his shoulder, very limited range of motion, and physically could not have held that gun to shoot himself because of that limitation that he had.
The angle of the gun, I think how someone holds a gun is very important. And Jonathan, being an enthusiast on guns, he knows how to hold a gun. If somebody is going to commit suicide, now granted, there are wild stories out there, but if you're going to prove you love someone, wouldn't you take the easiest route versus making it very difficult?
That would be very uncomfortable for him, even if he didn't have shoulder problems, because when you properly shoot a weapon a certain way, when you've grown up shooting, you learn a certain way to hold a weapon your entire life. So for him, for someone who has the background that he has, you would have to physically force yourself, because it becomes second nature to hold your weapon a certain way. It's a piece of your body. So now all of a sudden you're in this really awkward position. You have to physically force yourself to do that.
Is it an accident if he says, cover your ears, he accidentally shoots himself?
Every story that I heard for the interviews were all a little bit different. So why is there not consistency coming from her? Even if she just, you know, wants to say that it was not an accident, be kind of like, oh, he loved me so much, this is what he did for me. You know, at least stay consistent. And I just thought it was very interesting that every single story was a little different. She even had it seemed to me like some of her friends lie for her, you know, on the of the story of the day of. So, you know, yeah, there's a big thing here. Is this accident or is this a proving of something?
While you're thinking about that, let's take a commercial break.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I'm not sure if everybody knows this because I can't remember if it was touched on in the podcast or not, but there is no statement from Brenda at the police department. So there is no record of her even giving a statement. There is record that they took her there to get one, but there is no documentation that she even provided anything.
You know, we can go over what should have, could have, would have been done, but should have had a statement from the person that called in the 911 call.
I think too with, you know, I have a gun. I don't use it a lot, but I can't imagine someone with the expertise he had. And a lot of you guys could refer to this too. If you were going to do something like this to yourself, you would not take the magazine out. What if the first shot didn't work and you wanted to pop it off and you were going to do it? And then you would expect her to have, if he said that, she should have reacted and turned around and looked. So none of the gun handling for Jonathan makes any sense.
Right. That's kind of what I was thinking too, is someone, he had such a history of being so careful with guns. It just seems completely out of character that that's the dramatic move he would make to prove to someone something.
But it's a good point in general, the conversation. There is history, it seems, of Brenda wanting to harm herself. We have multiple people saying that. And at that point, then that's a huge red flag as well, you know, looking into that and what kind of things she tried to do to herself in the past, either with the ex-boyfriend or her sister when her sister got interviewed.
Well, we only know what we know. And since Brenda was prone to hurting herself, this is what came up with, that's what popped into her brain as to an explanation to what he did.
Yeah, I think the relevancy of the patterns of behavior in Brenda and Jonathan will prove relevant in court. That's what they're going to pull from, is the witness testimony of the many instances of Brenda's past where dramatics were brought into the situation. I know that a few people have spoken to that in prior depositions as well. And Jonathan, I mean, even in his prior conversations in the day with other people, was, to my understanding, logical, talking through problems, trying to solve problems. And again, that doesn't speak to what we know about Brenda's past. But that is what is necessary in court, is somebody to testify to those situations and past events.
How important is, and Kim, I'm going to put you on the spot, how important is it to have victimology?
It's very important, and many people will build a victimology report. So it's not just going to come from one particular person's opinions or observations. It's over a lifetime. So there will be a lot of details that will become relevant in court when that is presented, because it's a full overview of somebody's behaviors throughout time. So you can always improve upon past behaviors, but it speaks to what people have experienced with you in situations and the similarities that will be proven with the facts that you have in this case.
So past history generally, and we're saying generally because people can change, predicts future.
In my experience, that's the case.
Yeah, I know some people that have given up drinking and people who have gone through rehab and stopped drugs and things like that. But we're not talking extremes here. We're talking Jonathan. He had a job. He had a good family. He had things going for him. And the one thing no one has mentioned, which is surprising, is that he was breaking up with her. So she technically is his ex-girlfriend that day. She's not the current girlfriend. And that to me is a very big red flag on what transpired. Erin.
And when she went over to the house, did she already know that he was going to break up with her on the phone because she had told her friend Karen that she was bringing things to his home? So it felt like there was, you know, going to be that last minute, like, here's your belongings, like, we're going to cut ties.
Do we know for sure that he had her stuff out on the front porch?
Not on the front porch. We do know for a fact it was by the front door.
Like, as soon as she walks in, that's the first thing that she sees?
Yes.
Oof. That's probably, I don't know, I hate this word, but that would trigger any extremely angry woman that's about to walk through the door and get her heart broken. And, oh, here's your stuff, by the way, as soon as you walk in. Like, I can just see somebody snapping over that.
He gathered it up and put it there.
Yeah, like, all nice and sweet for you. Here you go. It's done. It's over with. There's nothing else to say. She might have thought she was going over there to talk him into not leaving her.
That is an excellent point.
Just a complete observation, in my opinion, is because she was so frazzled from that morning all the way till, you know, later that evening, she wasn't going to let it go, in my opinion. Just straightforward, blunt, she was not going to let this go. One way or another, there was going to be something that would have changed for her benefit, and she was going to stay with him forever or, you know, something else. And that was just kind of what I had witnessed and kind of saw.
I am making an assumption, so I don't have proof, but he had all of her belongings that she had at his apartment at the front door. So I think there was going to be an exchange. I think she knew she was not going to continue, but that I don't know what was said between them. Will we find out if the police arrest her and, you know, try her? We might, but she may never talk. I believe she has talked to some people, and I believe that there are people with knowledge.
I'm going to pause for a moment for a commercial break.
You're a podcast listener, and this is a podcast ad. Reach great listeners like yourself with podcast advertising from Lips and Ads. Choose from hundreds of top podcasts offering host endorsements, or run a reproduced ad like this one across thousands of shows to reach your target audience with Lips and Ads. Go to lipsandads.com now. That's LIBSYNads.com.
As far as the being an accident, it's almost even comical to the one point because of the angle of the gun and or the project, you know, going through. You would more or less just have to throw the gun up in the air and hope it fires in that position. So to me, even that part is comical. As far as the big picture of this case started years before Jonathan was even in the picture. Just the depth of what people will go to in a brotherhood, in a family, the lies, the manipulation, I mean, everything. I mean, there is this case is huge. I mean, there's so much depth in it.
That's exactly right. So let's talk about the dynamics of there are groups that will never talk, or if you leave them, you're ostracized. The dynamics in this group, I think, have that. Years later, Danny and Pam are considered terrible human beings, but when they were part of the group, they were good people. Henry Sue's influence, what's your thought on Brenda and the group, the stories, Danielle?
I just find it very interesting that the family chose to protect Brenda over protecting the Cruz family. I mean, they were so much a part of that studio as Brenda was, yet they're protecting Brenda. Why taking Brenda's side over, say, Pam and Danny's side?
Henry Sue had already demonstrated that he favored Brenda, that she could do whatever she wanted, and that Pam was on the edge with Henry Sue, like when he wanted to give alcohol to Danny and she objected and he told her to back off, whatever, you know. I think Pam was on the fringe with Henry Sue, where Brenda was definitely on the inside. She was the inner, close to him.
But I mean, I think it just goes to how much they're going to protect somebody doing the most heinous thing to somebody that they liked and they're protecting her. How far would they go to somebody who wasn't even involved in the studio?
The observation is very accurate. Henry Sue was, I don't know if he was idolized by Brenda or looked up to by Brenda, but Pam did not look up to Henry Sue. And I think that's the break, Danielle, in the dynamics.
Yeah. I mean, I get they didn't play into his game or his twisted warp sense. I think Jason has had an analogy or an idea about Henry for a while now that I know probably hasn't been brought up. I didn't know if that's what you were going to say, Jason, but I think you're pretty on the money there.
Okay, Jason.
It goes all the way back for years, wherever, how long it was, to where they were in the motel, all of that. Brenda has to know something. And that goes into the depth of the family. Brenda has something on Henry.
I know there was one point where I believe it was Pam was talking about the Kung Fu family and the Nexium seminars and the Vanguard video games. And I looked into that a little bit. I don't see the relation. I don't know what, I'm trying to understand what that was and if that's going to get brought up in the court at all, but trying to, like, you know, investigate and research the family a little bit more. I didn't know if there was anything significant out of that.
I think Brenda was trying to send a message to Emily as well. I think that's the one person that there was a text message to. There wasn't a text message to Pam or Danny. And I think that was taking him away from Emily as well. If she can't have him, neither can Emily.
I think that's an important part is we've heard through depositions that she was completely in love with Jonathan. We've also heard people say they're not worried about her current husband because she's not that in love with him. Think about that. These are her friends saying that. That's telling. Jonathan was her love of her life. You know, we heard from one of her sisters saying that she would never hurt herself. She's meek and mild. She doesn't have a temper. But public records show us that one of the sisters, and I don't think it was the same one, Danielle, was it the same one that called and said they're worried about her hurting herself? She's done it before. Is it the same one?
Yeah.
So she's in deposition saying, oh, no, she'll never hurt herself. And then we have a public record that shows us they called the police saying they're worried about her. Those are kind of things that you just kind of scratch your head. What is it? Which is it? You know, were you telling the truth then? Or are you telling the truth when you made that call to the police? Can we talk about witnesses and witness statements? How important would it have been for the police to talk to as many people as I did at the beginning? Who wants to take that? Sue?
What I see here is that personal bias is so underestimated that the law enforcement went in there with personal bias, that it was a suicide because of the 911 call, because they just went in there with bias that it was suicide. They didn't look into it.
Yeah, I just feel like even if you go in with a personal bias, as the evidence is telling you all these other things and there's such blatant inconsistencies, so are you just inefficient or are you ignoring what's right in front of you? You know, even if you go in with a bias, it's like there are so many red flags here that they had to ignore along the way.
I had more of a law enforcement question, and I don't know if it's different from state to state, but in that, in those minutes of them on the scene, if they're already, you know, stating it's going to be a suicide, is it not part of the process, homicide or suicide, to still talk to the neighbors that night or the next day and come back?
Yes.
As both sides, right? As both, you know.
It's supposed to be.
Yeah. Okay.
And Danielle, you're going to go to the warrant, aren't you?
That's exactly where I'm going. I mean, they weren't on the scene just minutes. I don't know if that was just a figure of speech you used. They were on the scene for seven, eight hours. But there was a search warrant for murder. And they had Brenda Lazzaro committing the act of murder and a search warrant for murder.
It, 25 minutes after that warrant was issued, the same police officer is on the phone with the medical examiner saying suicide. Don't you love paperwork? Pam and John, they do not ever want to make law enforcement the enemy. They have worked overtime to not make them the bad guy.
That's interesting about that affidavit, too, because in our case, the first affidavit that came out of the ASA's office was to do a full inspection of the equipment, and it was a murder warrant. And all the cell phone warrants were for murder, too. And
I was just wondering if any of the police officers or in the courts, if any of them take Kung Fu.
I've gone down that road myself.
I don't know how small the town is, to be fair. I don't live in a small town, so I don't know how small of a small town we're talking about.
I have no idea, but it's a valid question, and I think it should be asked and answered. The trial is January 12th in Dallas County. We're hoping Jonathan will be heard. The reason the family is doing this lawsuit, they have been nothing but very good to the Coppell Police Department and the Coppell community. They have never once spoken ugly about them. Matter of fact, Pam still goes over and prays for them. And it's a shame that this community and the police department have let this family down, because it actually could be the person listening to the podcast or someone they live next door to who's next. What kind of justice is in Coppell, Texas? And is it all just painted beautifully for people to move there and spend their tax dollars?
Thank you for listening to Heartbroken, the Jonathan Cruz case. Join me season 5 for something different. I've asked a friend and colleague, Catherine Mayer of Mayer Consulting out of Austin, to join me and go through cases through private eyes. Season 5, Through Private Eyes, starts in January.
In every case, there is someone in the community who holds information that may be significant in solving a case. Relationships change over time, and many cold cases are solved when a former witness, friend, or relative is located who is tired of hiding information and shares that information with investigators. If you have any information about this case, please contact our voicemail comment line at 888-599-0008. You can leave an anonymous tip, or you can leave your contact information. We will call you back and speak with you directly. You can also email information to Sheila@SheilaWysocki.com. Without Warning, Executive Director, Executive Producer, and Host Sheila Wysocki. Announcer, Tim Evans.